Air traffic control to Cessna 8915 Golf. Reminder, you are in jinx mode.
8915 Golf to Tower. I'm sorry, did you just say jinx mode? Over.
Earlier, I said big skies, and you said big skies at the same time, and now I said jinx.
What?
Yeah, I've got it all on. It's all recorded. I said jinx, and you didn't say it back.
Permission to land.
Permission denied. You're in jinx mode. That means you can't talk until I say you're out of jinx mode.
Tower, we're running out of fuel and
I'm running out of patience with this because it's really simple.
8915 Golf requesting permission to land.
Permission?
Vectors to the nearest available airstrip with expedited approach
Cut
due to critically low fuel.
Cut his mic.
Welcome to OneWord.com's podcast. Each episode revolves around one word. And today's word is synchronicity. David.
Oh, sorry, I was supposed to say it with you. Yeah, I can do it again. Let's do it again.
Synchronicity.
I thought you were going to say today's word is again.
Today's word is...
Three, two, one.
Go.
Synchronicity makes me think of a quote I saw at Trader Joe's, of all places. Each of the check stands had, these inspirational quotes, and one of them was, if you truly want to bake an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
I have a ton of clocks in my house, digital clocks, analog clocks. None of them are the right time. Not one.
I don't know if I even believe in time.
Personally, I don't think there are such a thing as coincidences.
You should really pay attention to synchronicities. Unpackage your synchronicities so that you see where they came from and what they're indicating to you, because they could be a grander design working for you.
I see synchronicities as little winks from the universe that you're on the right track.
I mean, every moment led to where we are now, and even the slightest change, even over a short period of time, would immensely change the trajectory, and things would be completely different, and it just seems too perfect to be chaos.
I read a book by Julian Barber called The End of Time, and the whole book is about how there's really no physical proof that time exists. Like, the book's like, yeah, we experience time, but that may just be a fabrication. That may be like a requirement of our consciousness, is that there are all these possible states of matter, and that for some reason, we need to experience one state of matter to this next state of matter, like a progression. But maybe all possible states of matter just exist. They just are. And the idea that we are on some sort of track that takes you from one to the next, that maybe that's just fabricated. That's some wild stuff, man. I mean, I don't know. I've had a couple drinks, 2 or 8 drinks.
Does anybody hear the word synchronicity and not think about the band, The Police? I cannot possibly be the only one.
As a child of the 80s, it's just The Police.
The first album I ever bought with my own money was Synchronicity by The Police.
It was 1982, and one of the greatest bands ever was coming to town, The Police.
We did use some big words like tubular, but for the most part, I would say my vocabulary wasn't very broad. And so Synchronicity, when that album came out, that was like a big deal. I mean, I don't think I had used a word that big since I had a shirt that said precocious.
I love that whole album, but my favorite song, I guess it's the sequel to the title track, Synchronicity 2. Which draws parallels between the banal suburban life of a factory worker and the Loch Ness Monster. which sounds so stupid when I say it, but it's so elegantly portrayed in the song. I just remember the lyrics painting such a vivid picture, packed like lemmings into shiny metal boxes, the secretaries pout and preen like cheap tarts in a red light street, and every single meeting with his so-called superior is a humiliating kick in the crotch. There's just so many good lyrics. And then, you know, as the stress of his pointless job and chaotic home life is bringing him to a boiling point, something is making its way from the bottom of a dark Scottish loch toward a cottage on the shore. They say a dark Scottish lake in every chorus except for one, and then they really hit loch hard on one of them. Just in case you were confused what we're talking about.
So I blew off school and grabbed the keys to my Corolla and a blanket and some money for some blueberry Pop-Tarts. And I spent the night at the mall, and I got tickets to go see the Police at the Capitol Center. And there was a band no one had ever heard of before opening up for them. They were called R.E.M. When R.E.M. came out, Michael Stipe, the lead singer, announced that he was going to play about 10 songs. And about 95% into the set, they started what the crowd assumed was their last song and started roaring. And Michael came to the mic and said, "No, wait, sorry, there's one more." And everybody audibly kind of groaned because everybody was there to see the Police on the Synchronicity Tour, 1982.
That album sold so many copies. It was everywhere. So when I hear Synchronicity, I kind of think of sellout. But I still listen to their music, just probably not any of the songs on that album.
Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner once sang, "A sleep trance, a dream dance, a shared romance, synchronicity." Fast forward to today, many years after the man now known as Sting shared those incredible words, and I had an internet provider who once said to me, with far less grace, "A bad router, a technician doubter, grab some chowder, no connectivity." Now, what does that have to do with synchronicity? Well, I'll tell you. I have not had internet now for a week. And so when it went out, it was in the middle of a snowstorm. And I realized I could finally watch that DVD box set of 6 Feet Under that I've been wanting to watch for about 10 years. It seemed almost necessary that the internet went out so that I could do that.
Officer Harris, I'm on this one. We got a call about a jinx in this trailer park. It's not the first jinx call I've been on between these two women, Tabitha and Crystal. Hi, ladies. All right, I'm going to take each one. Tabitha, you called in. You said that you declared jinx after you both said a full moon. Report is that you both said, you said full moon, same time she said full moon, that you called jinx first. Is that right, Tabitha?
That's your... not what she did.
Now, Crystal, I'm going to get to you.
I called jinx. She just didn't hear me.
I'm going to get to you, Crystal. I got to take separate report. Tabitha, is that correct? You claim that you called jinx first?
Synchronicity is the universe trying to put things into alignment for you. It's when things start clicking into place because your intention or whatever is kind of shifting the universe. So, like, yeah, if you don't, okay, real quick, if you don't believe in Western materialism, scientific materialism, pull some of your belief points from there and put them into spirituality or occult or esoterica. Basically go Jung instead of Freud. You'll start seeing synchronicities that'll blow your mind. I know it's a floofy thing to call it, but working with intention and magic, there are so many synchronicities that start appearing. I think that's what's happening. That's how synchronicities start to clip into place with your reality being impinged onto reality. It starts to work for you.
Say hi, Eloise.
Hi, Eloise.
This week's word is synchronicity. We talked about it. What does it mean?
It means stuff happening at the same time.
What do you want to say about synchronicity? Tell me anything.
I'll tell you a few sentences.
Okay.
Okay, here's the first one. Me and my friend both went to lunch at the same time. Second, me and my friend both had lunch at the same time. Third, me and my friend both went to music at the same time. Fifth, me and my friend both went to PE at the same time. Sixth, me and my friend both went to library at the same time. Seventh, me and my friend both went to recess at the same
That's
time.
A lot of stuff that happens at the same time. All right, use that if you can.
So this is the first time we've done this, but as we were putting the finishing touches on this episode, I came across this Instagram post from my friend Meg.
The way we met wasn't very interesting. We met on Hinge. When I saw him on Hinge, I scrolled past him because he has the same name as my dad, and I was not going to do that.
I was definitely the one initiating the conversation. She was resistant because of the name thing, and then as it turned out, I also have the same birthday as her dad.
Yeah. I think that's probably the more interesting part about how we met, because I feel like this day and age, everybody meets on dating apps.
We're a true dating app success story.
We've tried to get Hinge's attention, and they have not yet responded to us. I'm trying to think, what else is interesting about us? Should we tell our marriage story? Or is that too sad?
It's too sad.
Okay, never mind. You'll never get to know.
And I asked her if I could use it on the podcast, and she obviously said yes, but only if she could finish the story. So here's Megan Scott again.
So probably the most incredible synchronicity. It was super bittersweet, obviously. But my father had been sick for a while, and we were supposed to get married in March, but his health took a pretty sharp turn, so Scott and I decided to cancel our wedding, and we ended up getting married in the Orlando Veterans Hospital a few days before my dad passed away.
There were no flowers allowed in the ICU, but we kind of just made it as nice as we could. And we had basically been planning the wedding around her dad being able to make it. It was really important that he get to see us get married. And when things seemed to be going downhill, we decided to just set up in the VA hospital, and Meg's cousin officiated, and you know, and her dad was able to sign our wedding license as like one of his last kind of acts.
No wedding, however opulent or fantastic it may be, could ever match. That was truly just an experience that I will always treasure. And there's not going to be a day in my life that I don't have gratitude for Scott for, you know, shifting plans and supporting me in that. And also gratitude for my dad just hanging on until I could just achieve this one last milestone with him on this earth with us.
The origin story of my relationship with my boyfriend was sort of based on a synchronicity. I had been online dating for a while, and I was feeling kind of deflated. And I decided to do a cleanse. I was put on this detox cleanse by this Ayurvedic Indian doctor. And for 10 days straight, I was on this mono diet, which was called Khichdi, and it consisted of like mung beans and rice and certain spices, and that is all that I was to eat for 10 days straight. And unfortunately, New Year's Eve happened to coincide with this cleanse that I was doing, so I didn't make any plans for New Year's Eve, and I happened to be chatting with this guy that I met online on the day of New Year's Eve. And he seemed nice. And I asked him if he had any plans for New Year's Eve that evening. And he said that he wasn't sure if he was going to go to his friend's party because he was doing a cleanse. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. And I said, wow, I'm doing a cleanse also. And I asked him what cleanse he was doing. And I figured he was going to say, you know, a juice cleanse or the master cleanse or, you know, something sort of like popular. But he said he was doing a Khichdi cleanse, which really blew me away because most people have never even heard of Khichdi, let alone would subject themselves to 10 days of this craziness. So in that moment, I was pretty convinced that I had just met my soulmate. And so a couple of days later, we went on our first date and, you know, we couldn't go to a bar because we were both still doing the cleanse and we couldn't drink alcohol and we couldn't go to a restaurant for the same reason. And so we decided to go to a movie and we would bring our respective Khichdi dishes with us and we would try each other's and we would also eat dinner together out of our little thermoses. And that's exactly what we did. And that was over 9 years ago and we are still together.
So quick background before I get into this. I did minor in well-being and the advisor of the program has a PhD in dream psychology. And all of that sounds totally made up, but it is the truth. And he taught me everything I know about synchronicity. And I wanted to share a particular synchronicity that I still wrestle with. I still wonder exactly what it was telling me or is telling me. So it starts with a trip to the vet, which I've been to the vet many times, to many different vets, because we have an elderly dog and I love him more than anything. And so I worry about him and we take him in. And usually when we go to the vet, all of the imagery on the walls are either, you know, photos of dogs or cats or fish, or it's some sort of abstract painting art. And on this particular day at the vet, they'd taken my dog back and I was alone in the room and I realized that it was a still photo on the wall and it was a building. And I thought that was odd. And so I stood up and walked over to the photo. I recognized it was this hotel that I had stayed at in Venice once. And first of all, it's not a glamorous hotel. I mean, it's a dirt poor hotel, even for Venice. And I had only stayed there because I had been studying abroad and traveling with a couple of other folks that were studying abroad, and we had booked it because it's cheap. And I remembered that we had ended up fleeing the hotel in the middle of the night when the AC was broken, and it was July, so it was a bazillion degrees. And I was looking at it and thinking how weird it was that there was a photo of it to begin with, because again, not a glamorous place. And then two, that it's a still image in a vet office, also very strange. But then weirder, I had kept a blog during this study abroad. And just to double check that I wasn't crazy, I went to my blog and I found the post where I talk about what had happened to us. And this was the Hotel Iris from Venice. And it was the same day, almost a decade prior. And here is this hotel now back in my life, in this photo in the vet's office. And I remember that at the time, on that study abroad trip, I was nursing perhaps the worst heartbreak of my life, having broken up with the gentleman I did think I was going to marry. And what I didn't know at the time at the vet office was that my trip to Europe that was 2 weeks out at the time would be where I got engaged to my now fiance after dating for 8 years. And I think there's something there in the synchronicity.
I definitely have to bring it back to the story of DOG, our dog that I mentioned for the episode for the word rescue, when we rescued him from the 710 freeway in 2017. But that day was just like such a funny day of hiccups, I guess, like in the morning. And, you know, I was going with my coworkers to a job and we were already late and my coworkers wanted to stop and get like coffees and frickin' pastries and stuff. And as the producer, I was frustrated, but stopped anyway. And everyone got their drinks and their snacks, and we hit the road. And that's when we, bam, were like just stopped in traffic with this little like puffball in the middle of the 710 freeway. And I always think about, man, what if we didn't stop at Village Bakery and Atwater Village that day and listened to me and just went straight there. I'm sure I really wanted the chai tea latte that I got. Don't get me wrong.
When I think of synchronicity, I'm always reminded of one of my very favorite Saturday Night Live skits where they do the synchronized swimming. It is just perfect.
As one of four kids with a single mom, we spent a lot of time at our local YMCA. And when we had completed our mandatory make it through all the swim lessons requirement, then you got into the creative classes like the diving team, lifeguard training, and synchronized swimming. Nose plugs, matching swimsuits and swim caps on. We were a pretty impressive uniformed army of precision and rookie timing, working towards our end of the season show, which included a performance of the song Do You Love Me by the Contours. I gained a lot of respect for the strength of synchronized swimmers while treading water underneath the surface to keep our legs above water in a handstand. My grown kids will still laugh at me if we're on vacation and I'll show off a little water wheel or oyster move or a little ballet leg, living out my glory days. But I was in Target yesterday, and that song came on, the Do You Love Me song, while I was waiting for my daughter at the fitting rooms. And it was like synchronicity was telling me to tell you this story about my synchronized swimming days.
My name's Doug. I work in HR, and right now we're dealing with an ex-employee who claims that she said jinx before her boss did. And the boss denies this. We're facing some serious shit because we didn't have a proper jinx clause in her contract. And we may have to buy her a Coke.
I don't know if this is synchronicity per se, but I've read stories where people would have the same idea at the same time. It's called multiple discovery, maybe. Like, for instance, Alexander Graham Bell and another inventor, whose name I forget, filed patents on the telephone the very same day. And obviously, Bell won, since I can't even remember the other guy's name, but there are lots of crazy stories about this phenomenon. Like, I think there's something to do with two people coming up with calculus from like different parts of the world at the same time. Yeah, it's kind of like these ideas appear in the ether simultaneously, and it all comes down to who takes action. When an idea pops in your head, gotta move fast.
I don't smoke pot, but it seems like every time I look at my phone, it's 420. I've always found that interesting.
I know I talk about weed a lot, just in general and on this podcast perhaps, but has anybody else noticed that the word chronic is in synchronicity?
Synchronicity makes me think about being in a band. And especially when you're young and you'd get together with your friends and you'd plug in your guitars and, you know, just play stuff at the same time. And how fun that was. Just to lock in rhythmically with other people. And it's like, hey, you know that Kevin's cousin has a drum set. And you add them in and you're all just playing shit at the same time. It feels so good. I mean, synchronicity. Something about agreeing as a group about things happening at a certain rate. This feels great. That's why people dance.
There are those big moments that most of us can probably point to in our lives that led us to finding our soulmate or best friend or dog or cat. But if you zoom out, even just a little, it makes a pretty good case for synchronicity. For example, say you were driving home one night from work and you suddenly had the urge to take a route home that you don't normally take and you run over a nail and you make it home safe, it's all good. But because you can't drive, you end up walking to the one bar that's walking distance from your apartment and they're doing karaoke and you get up and sing Time Warp like you always do, and the only one in the crowd to do the jump to the left and step to the right dance moves is now, years later, your life partner. I mean, what are the chances? Without that stupid nail, your life would look much different. But zoom out just a little past all of those moments that led you to that job and that apartment, and however that nail ended up in the middle of the road and in your tire, and then zoom out more to the person in the 1970s pitching this idea about a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania named Dr. Frank N. Furter. I mean, come on. What are the chances? And then, of course, you can keep zooming out even further past the gazillions of circumstances around your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather getting speared in the ass in the, you know, Crusades, and he falls in love with the maiden that nursed him back to health, and so on and so on and so on until you get to the Big Bang. What are the chances? I'll tell you, zero. Zero are the chances.
I, with no internet, am really making progress on the DVD box set for Six Feet Under, and I'm learning so much about funerals during this process. And so when I recently attended a funeral, it was like I was on set.
And cut. Great take, everybody. Can we raise Roger out of the coffin? Nice work, Roger. We could hardly see you breathe. Let's get all the mourners to this side. All mourners. Day players, if we can get you over by this crafty table. And the principal actors on this side. We're take five, everybody.
Okay, this is take number five. Cell phones off.
That was really believable.
We're taking a break.
Sue has mascara for those of you that need a touch-up.
And it felt like I just had all these details. I was seeing things happening that I, you know, had been watching on TV. And people were making comments about certain aspects of the service. And I was just like, hey, I can answer that. And I don't know if that's synchronicity or just a sign that I should probably be working in a mortuary.
I had just lost a good friend, not lost as in death, but lost as in this person who had been my friend for 4 years. She was really close to me, decided to write me off with a big 12-page venomous letter against why I was a terrible person. And it was super hurtful because I'm usually a pretty nice person, and it really hurt. It was the first time something like this had happened to me. I didn't understand it. And it was difficult. And then at the same time, I kept seeing things come up about letting people go, letting them move on. And the synchronism comes in when I was at a horse event and my daughter rides, and I got put in the worst volunteer spot for me ever, which is judging people that ride horses all the time and seeing if they were equipped and properly prepared. Well, the problem is I know nothing about horses, nothing. So luckily, there was a woman there who did know about horses and was so kind. And we befriended each other that day. And she's become just a really dear friend to me, fellow artist. And I love her whole family and has just become a sweet person in my life. And this happened the same time that my other friend had disowned me. And they share the same name. So I thought that had some cool synchronicity. It was almost like friendship redeemed in a person. The kind of friend that a friend should be. And that was pretty cool.
Okay, so since I left my rambly description for synchronicity on Monday for the One Word podcast, a little synchronicity showed up. I found this little toad about the size of a racquetball underneath my house where I'm digging a root cellar. Really, it's going to be a mushroom. And toads are symbolic of wealth, regeneration, luck, and transformation, amongst a couple of other attributes and sets of characteristics. Then I started to deep dive about this little toady dude, and it led me to an article about synchronicity, which I found out that Carl Jung coined the term synchronicity in May of 1930. And then I'd remembered that in my description earlier, I had mentioned Carl Jung and Freud, and
Then I'm going, where do I go from here if this is a synchronicity? So now I'm concentrating on another set of characteristics of a toad, which are concentration, serenity, and perseverance. These are things I needed to wrap up this mushroom root cellar that I have to complete. So it kind of, you know, went full circle. Anyway, in the final analysis, putting your attention on synchronicity sometimes can cause it to occur. So, hey, thanks for the synchronicities.
Another thing I think about with synchronicity is the peanut butter cup. Around the time, or soon after the time, that Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner sang those amazing words, the chocolate somehow ended up in the peanut butter.
As much as synchronicity has not played that much of a role in my life up to this point, I can look back at a time when I was a teenager and I was sent to a Catholic military boarding school for the last 2 years of high school. It was a place where they sent legacy kids and fuck-ups. Not that the two were mutually exclusive. You know, your basic bare concrete walls, barracks, wool blankets, polyester uniforms, Civil War era iron beds, and all soaked in that la poisson of raging hormones, misplaced anger, childhood trauma. It was the curriculum that they had at the school was Latin and Bible studies and the history of warfare, but the actual student curriculum was fighting with each other, LDMT, limited detection, masturbation techniques, more fighting, and then how to get high off of the chemicals used to clean the weapons in the armory or shine the brass that were part of the uniform, because nothing says mold in the minds of young men like flare and rifles. So since I was new, every lunch was fight the new kid lunch. And so for the first 3 weeks, I had cobbled together a decent record. Not that I was good at fighting. I would say it was more along the lines of being raised by five older brothers, taught me more survival. But things were getting tougher because I was moving up in weight class. And the day in question was they were serving burnt Reubens and dishwater chicken noodle soup. And I was not a fan of the Reuben, so I traded my sandwich for an extra bowl of the soup. When I took my seat at one of the round tables and immediately noticed that it was just chock full of members of the football team. And this one fellow sitting directly across from me, the star cornerback, co-captain, just angry, fast, big, and the kind of fellow who only smiled when someone else was getting hurt. So he probably ended up in Congress. And I could just see that he had no interest in lunch, and his interest was in baiting me. And I figured I had a half an hour of not making eye contact. But in that one instance in which I did look up, all of a sudden the table was pulled away. He stood up and threw his milk carton directly at me, but it hit one of my bowls of soup and it just spilled both of the bowls across the table onto the floor onto me. And it was the first shot fired. The rest of the kids pulled the table out of the way to clear a path, and the entire lunchroom just went into this bloodthirsty roar. And I thought to myself in that instant that my undefeated record was going by the wayside and I was headed towards the infirmary. And this guy came towards me with misplaced rage in his eyes, all of that childhood trauma, and he rushed towards me. And they say that fights happen very fast, and his rush was quick, but then all of a sudden things slowed, magically slowed, as he cocked back to just unleash a right hand to my face, and he stepped forward, and then there was just fear, momentary fear in his eyes, and his eyes went wide because he had slipped in the soup that he had spilled. And so as he went to step into the punch, he lost his footing and he slipped back and fell and cracked his head on the linoleum floor. And I took the opportunity to just jump on him and hang on for dear life, not realizing that he was already bleeding. And two of the proctors came and broke the fight up. And no one knew that the guy had slipped in the soup. They just thought that I had in a blur tackled one of the biggest guys in school and won the fight. And for the next 2 years of high school, I never had to fight again. And so I don't know if that's synchronicity or it's supinicity or slipinicity or some serendipity as well, but that was a moment where two things that just weren't exactly related came together for me.
Big thanks to everybody for sharing your thoughts and your stories inspired by this week's word.
And also, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Nothing without its listeners.
Yep.
If you're on the fence about submitting, I would recommend using a fake name.
Absolutely.
That way you can tell a really embarrassing story of nobody will have any idea that it's you talking about your high school crush, Suzanne Johnson. I wonder where she is. I have no idea where she is. What she's doing. She's married.
I don't know.
Has kids.
Well, if you're listening, Suzanne, thank you. And thank you to Liz in Salt Lake City, Kat in Los Angeles, Meg and Scott in Los Angeles,
Danielle in Ashburn, Virginia, Claire in Leesburg, Virginia, Maura in Sterling, Virginia,
Ashley in Northern Virginia, Emily and Jay in Fruta, Colorado, Leo in Vancouver,
Ava in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Mia in Austin, Texas,
Regan, also in Texas somewhere, Harper in Toronto, James in Eugene, Oregon,
and Brandon and Eloise in Portland, Oregon.
Be sure to rate and review our podcast wherever you can.
You're in a tunnel somewhere and you have a can of spray paint.
Okay.
Just spray paint 5 stars in the tunnel and then write 1-word podcast. And that way people will know. And then maybe say out of 5, just so they know it's not out of 10. Or I guess, where else, Brian? Like on
Apple Podcasts?
That's a good place to do it. Or Spotify?
Yes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Tunnel, all good options.
To be part of a future podcast, go to podcast.oneword.com.
Until next time.
Word up.
Hey, Brian. Hey, David. My name is Meatface Mike. I'm calling from the Tillery State Penitentiary in Tillery, North Carolina. And I'm using my phone call to call into One Word. Because the reason that I'm here right now is because in 1972, I was involved in a fatal double jinx. I was sitting at a bar and I said, them Raiders are going to lose. And down at the other end of the bar, some other feller had said the same thing. Them Raiders are going to lose. I slammed my fist down. I said, jinx. And I looked over and it was like a mirror image. Because he had slammed his fist down. And he had said, jinx. And I watched as a bead of sweat formed on this man's forehead and dripped down into his eyebrow. And that bead of sweat clung to the fibers of his eyebrow with all its might until it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it outgrew the capacity of the man's eyebrow to hold it. As soon as it started to drip down his face, we said double jinx at the same time. And we did not know what to do after a double jinx. So we beat the shit out of each other. Yeah, I murdered a man. Yeah, that's why I'm here. And the Raiders won that game.